problem cows are being created to fight global warming, and more fake news surrounding the so-called kratom deaths hit the world by storm. All that and more on today's Peck Report. Hey, everybody. Hope you're having a good day today. Nephilim cows. I swear, the world will just find any excuse to mess with the genetics of animals just so they can play God. But there's a recent story. This comes from Breaking Israel News, that Israeli scientists now create cows that produce less gas and more milk. So you got you have the solution to two fake problems here: global warming and starvation in the world. Not saying that starvation is a fake problem, but it is blown out of proportion. And I don't buy for a second that the only way to combat it is by genetically altering food. I don't buy that for a second. But this is the solution they propose to get rid of both of these so-called problems. And it's absolutely ridiculous. So you guys know I'm a big supporter of Israel. We actually support two ministries that go out and try to spread the gospel to the Jewish people, to so they can know who their Messiah is. Love the Jewish people, but this Israeli science experiment is ridiculous. It is out of hand. It is evil. So it says. The article goes and it says cows grazing in a pasture look innocent enough, given giving milk or selflessly preparing themselves for slaughter to provide man with meat, but they also endanger the environment by emitting methane gases that promote dangerous global warming. Where do you have to be? What position do you have to be in life to believe something like that? Like, cows have been around basically forever, right? Anyway, it says, we approach a point of no return in terms of climate change caused by mankind, and Europeans catch their collective breath following the highest temperatures ever recorded across the continent. Greenland's ice is melting at a fast pace, and communities in the U.S. Plain State continue to assess the damage from unprecedented flooding and tornadoes. All right, now I'm just going to stop there. There is nothing to say how much, if any, effect mankind has on these global changes, these weather patterns. We don't know if this is a natural occurring thing. We don't know if mankind is contributing in some way, and if mankind is, then how much? There's no scientific study saying that. Also, this whole idea that there's a consensus, for one thing, even if there was a consensus on global warming, that wouldn't matter. There's been a consensus on a lot of things that have turned out to be wrong scientifically. But there isn't a consensus. There is research being done to show that mankind, if we have any effect at all, that the effect is so minimal. So instead of focusing on cows that are passing too much gas, and instead of focusing on that, maybe we need to focus better on predicting these naturally occurring weather patterns and things, and then finding ways to help people defend against them in some way. But cutting greenhouse gases just isn't going to do it. And even if we did, for one thing, come on, the cows. That is such a low contributor. That is absolutely ridiculous. And why is it only the cows? Why not horses and bulls and chickens and insects and people? And but that's coming. We'll have a gas tax, I'm sure. It says Professor Itzhak Mizrahi of the Department of Life Sciences at Ben-Gurion University of the Negev BGU in Beersheba and the National Institute for Biotechnology in the Negev NIBN offers some relief that will play a critical role in ensuring food security and fighting global warming. An international research team that Mitzrahi heads, that Professor Emeritus R.J. Wallace of Scotland's University of Aberdeen, has found that cow genes can be used to control rumen microbiomes, a complex dynamic ecosystem composed of mainly anaerobic bacteria, protozoa, anaerobic fungi. Don't know how to say that word. Fungi. I've heard it said a bunch of different ways. Still don't know what the correct one is. Microorganisms that produce methane and phage viruses that replicate within viruses. These genes can control the amount of greenhouse gases that animals emit. In addition to the discoveries, addition to scientific knowledge, their findings have profound implications for dairy and beef farmers trying to reduce their industry's contribution to climate change, as well as bolster dairy farmers' attempts to maintain or improve milk production efficiency while maintaining product safety. All right, all of this does nothing. Even if Israel and America cut out all of our greenhouse gases, and if we just went totally just green energy, China is such a big contributor. It wouldn't make a difference. China alone contributes so much more than we do. It wouldn't make any difference. So what is the point? But again, all of this is really for nothing. All of this is to fix a fake problem that doesn't even really exist. Yes, there are climate changes that occur. And yes, we probably should be focusing our energy on trying to predict those so we can, you know, warn people ahead of time, you know, if a flood is likely to happen or a hurricane or a tornado or something like that. You know, I mean, they say it's impossible to predict this stuff, but I bet if we put our energies into that pursuit, we'd have a better shot. But instead, we want to genetically alter cows, essentially making Nephilim cows to fix this fake problem. Why do we say Nephilim cows? Because we know from the book of Genesis and then extra-biblically Jubilees and Enoch that there was a time where the fallen angels first copulated with mankind and created these giants, but also these extra biblical books say that they sinned against the animals as well, corrupting the whole earth where God had to destroy everything. And there are many people that believe that was a genetic corruption, and that's what brought about Nephilim. So that Nephilim may not have only been human fallen angel hybrids, but there could have been animal hybrids as well. So we're heading back towards that day now with all this genetic engineering going on. And the way that they always do it, the way that they excuse it is some humanitarian effort to fix some problem. We have to genetically modify all of our food. Otherwise, people in impoverished areas won't have enough food to eat. Instead of focusing on instead of messing with God's creation, how about trying to figure out a way to produce natural food in these areas? But no, they want to rely on these types of things, on scientific advances where we don't know the logical conclusion. We don't know where all this stuff is going to lead. The closest thing that we have as an indicator is what we read about in Genesis 6, what happened back then. So it says the study, which covered over 1,000 cows in Italy, Finland, Sweden, and the United Kingdom, found that a small number of host-determined heritable microbes make significant contributions to explaining experimental variables and host phenotypes. This, they predict, will lead to microbiome-led breeding/genetic programs. So it's not just breeding, it's genetic programs as well, to provide a sustainable solution to increase efficiency and reduce emissions from livestock that chew grass and hay. Breeding is one thing. You know, if you're taking your animals and having them do what they're going to do in nature anyway, that's one thing. But genetic engineering is unnatural. It's against creation. And again, it's a solution to a fake problem. So while ignoring the real problems going on. So the article goes on. You can check it out yourself if you want, but that's basically the gist of it. Nephilim cows that are going to be less gassy and produce more milk or more food or you know, genetically engineering these things to produce more food. And we don't know the quality of that food. I imagine if it's unnatural, it can't be good. It's not going to integrate very well with our bodies, you know, when we ingest it, because our bodies are built to naturally ingest what grows in nature, you know. So if we're going to be messing around with that and making salmon peaches and stuff, if you haven't heard about that, they genetically engineered a type of peach that that like doesn't freeze in the winter, so they can grow it all year round because they put salmon genes in it. I wouldn't eat that, but you know what? They don't have to tell us, and that's the scary thing. They don't have to tell us if food has been genetically modified, so they're actually taking away your choice. They're taking away your freedom to choose if you want to ingest GMO food or not, because you don't know. I mean, it's getting to the point that unless you grow your own food and you know exactly where it comes from, even then you don't know, because you don't know how could you know really what's in your soil even, or where your seeds came from. I mean, you got to be so careful. And then there's the whole chemtrail thing that some people talk about. I don't know about that, but it's possible. It's possible that we're being sprayed and all this stuff is falling down on our crops and stuff. You just never know. I don't know. Sounds kind of hopeless, but I think our best bet is to just order locally, buy locally, grow our own food, store up just in case. I think that that's probably going to have to be our best bet. But I would like to know what you think about this. You think Nephilim cows is the answer, or do you think the answer is just why don't we be smart with what God gave us? I would like to know. Leave me a comment in the comment section about below. And now we do have to talk about kratom, but before that, let me tell you how you can get some. Coastline Kratom is an excellent, excellent company. You get a money-back guarantee. Do your own research on Kratom, because we're going to talk about this in a minute. It'll have to be for members only, because YouTube will delete this video if I tell you the truth about Kratom death reporting. But I take this stuff every day. Every single day. I love it. I'm a chronic pain sufferer, so that's why I take it. You don't take this to get high. You don't take it to, you know, relax after a long day at work. It's for a chronic pain sufferer. If you have chronic pain, some people do use it to try to, you know, help them sleep at night. But Kratom has absolutely given me my life back. So if you want to check it out, you can click on the link in the description below, or just go to dailyrenegade.com. If you're a chronic pain sufferer, this might help. While you're there, you can check out our friends at CBD Pure and CBD Pets. CBD is great. I take it an hour before bed every day, and I sleep amazing. I sleep better than I have probably since I was a kid. Also, I've noticed that since I've been taking it every day, I don't have to take as much kratom. Like, it has actually lessened my daily pain, which is nice. So, and I've heard similar things from a lot of people. So you can click on the link in the description below. This is pure, organic, pesticide free. They test every batch that they make, and they put their results on their website, so you can check it out for yourself, do your own research. But they also make a version of this for your pets. So if you have a pet that's stressed or agitated or something like that, this could help. Check them out, dailyrenegade.com, or click on the link in the description below. Okay, now, like I said, we do have to talk about something that YouTube will not allow us to talk about. So we are going to have to switch it over to members-only content. If you want to become a member, join Daily Renegade today. It is the Netflix of fringe Christianity. You get so many shows, you won't know what to do with yourself, and it's only $10 a month or $100 a year. The $100 a year is the best way to go, because then you get 2 months for free. You only have to pay once, and then you don't have to worry about it for a whole year. You don't have to worry about it. So become a member today, dailyrenegade.com, or you can click on the link in the description below. Get rid of Netflix. It's garbage anyway. Get rid of that. Come on over to us. We're going to be adding new shows as well. We have about a dozen shows now. We're going to be adding a lot more. We're going to be bringing in your mind's going to be blown. You're not going to know what to do with yourselves. You're going to have so much content, so many videos to watch, and so many articles to read. And so we're also constantly updating the website, making it more user-friendly, improving things as much as we can, as fast as we can. It's basically like its own little social media platform. So it's really great. DailyRenegade.com, $10 a month or $100 a year. Go become a member today. All right, for people who are watching for free on YouTube and Facebook, thank you so much. Make sure to subscribe, like us, follow us, do all the internet things. And for members only, hang on the line. For everybody else, thank you so much. Until next time, take care and God bless. All right, members only, thank you so much for your membership. So I can freely tell you about Kratom now. There is a new article going around on Gizmodo that says kratom linked to serious side effects and deaths in new study. Now let's go through this and see what it actually says, because is this the truth? Is this what is really going on? I've done videos on this before and YouTube keeps pulling them down, so it has to be for members only. Unfortunately, I would rather have the Nephilim cows be for members only and then just freely talk about kratom, but unfortunately we can't do that because YouTube keeps pulling it down. Now, luckily, on Blog Talk Radio, we can keep all that content for everybody. Blog Talk hasn't censored us at all that we know of. They've actually been really good. But that is audio only. So if you're not a member and you're listening to this on the podcast, there is, you know, a whole video attached to this. But anyway, so it says the herbal remedy kratom, often touted as an alternative treatment for opioid withdrawal or chronic pain, is in for more bad publicity. This week, scientists published yet more research showing that the plant is linked to reported dangerous side effects like seizures and deaths. Really? Now, I'm going to stop right there and say, you can overdose on almost anything. You can overdose on Tylenol. There are Tylenol deaths. Yet Tylenol, you can go and buy it for $5 at the pharmacy or at Walmart. Seizures, you know, some people might be allergic to some things. You know, that could very easily happen. There are people that could get very ill just taking Tylenol, just taking over-the-counter stuff. But it's rare, so why should that ruin it for everybody? Just if you know you're one of those people, like, then don't do it. Now, obviously, with the death thing, well, let's get to the deaths, because that's important to talk about. It says, some people also appear to go through withdrawal even when off kratom, much like conventional opioids. Okay, now, I have heard that as well. That seems to happen when somebody finds themselves in a place where they're taking a lot of kratom, like way more than is necessary. There are people, I read this one ridiculous report from these two young guys who said that they were hopelessly addicted to kratom, and it said that they were taking like 5 tablespoons a day or something like that. Like I take half a teaspoon, like 5 tablespoons a day. I would be throwing up. Like that would make you so sick, because it's kind of cool how it works. So kratom's all natural, but it has this like limiting feature attached to it where your body won't let you, like you can't really overdose exactly. Like you can take too much and get sick, but you throw up before you would even overdose in a way that that would kill you. You just get really sick, and even then it kind of feels like, because I've taken too much, not to the point where I was throwing up, that's crazy, but when I was first starting to take kratom there, and I was trying to figure out my tolerance, there were a couple times I took a little too much. It sort of feels like if you've ever had your blood sugar drop, or if you've been really car sick, it sort of feels like that. And it's not pleasant, but it's not the worst thing in the world. Like, well, all you do is you just get a big glass of water, eat something, and take a nap, and then you'll be okay. And that's it. But so that has happened before. Seizures, I've never had a seizure on it. I don't know anybody who takes it who has, but I suppose it could happen. Now, the death thing we got to talk about. The withdrawal thing can happen if you're taking a lot, but that can happen with almost anything. If your body gets used to taking a certain, like, anything, well, think about alcohol. If you drink, like, a lot, you can die from seizures from quitting drinking. that can actually happen. So that's just the way that the body works, and that's with almost anything. So people just have to be responsible. They have to be responsible for themselves. That doesn't mean the government should step in and ban it for everybody, because some people do use it responsibly and don't try to abuse it and don't try to take 5 tablespoons a day to try to get high off of it. The vast majority of people, near 100% of people who take this, aren't trying to get high, because this is the worst thing to use for that reason. If you're looking to get high, you're gonna smoke pot or something, or you're gonna take narcotics. You're not gonna take kratom. Now, when some people have reported, when you first start taking it, the first couple of times you get a little bit of a buzz off of it. Like you get a little bit. It's kind of like it's sort of like a coffee buzz. It's been compared to. You get a little bit of a buzz off of it, but that goes away if you take it. If you take it all the time, like I do. So I take it every day. I don't get a buzz from it anymore. Haven't in a long time, and I don't need to. I don't miss it. I don't care. That's not why I'm taking it. So. And you know, because Christians have asked me, you know, is it okay to take, you know, CBD, or is it okay? Is medical marijuana okay, or is like kratom okay if it gives you a buzz? And it depends on why you're taking it. If you're taking it to get high, then no, it's not okay. Don't take it for that reason. We're supposed to remain sober. But if you're taking it for a medical reason, if you have chronic pain and this is restoring your quality of life, you know, chronic pain, that's not natural. That's something that's being taken away from you. If you're restoring it with these things, then it's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It all depends on what. Now, if there are people who will make excuses and say, well, I get headaches sometimes, so I have to smoke 5 joints a day. You know, they have to answer to God on that one. They don't have to answer to me. So I'm not concerned really with, you know, recreational drug use. I mean, it's wrong, but I'm not going to go and judge everybody and determine who needs it and who doesn't. I think the government should just get out of it. Let people do what they're going to do. And I mean, eventually the hardcore drug users are going to weed themselves out anyway. I mean, I don't want to be, you know, unloving about it, but that's just what happens. If somebody's, if somebody's doing cocaine every day or something, they're not gonna last that long. So the problem is kind of self-correcting in those regards. But again, a lot of this stuff has medicinal purposes. Marijuana has medicinal purposes. It's ridiculous to outlaw something that could actually help people who have cancer or something like that. CBD and kratom, they help people. And why do we need the government's permission? Why do we need medical studies and the government's permission to ingest something that helps or to try something out for ourselves? I think that is like anti-freedom and it's horrible. So there is a big push to ban kratom. And it's because of stuff like this. So the article goes on. It says the researchers looked at data from the National Poison Data System, which tallies up calls made to the 55 poison control centers in the U.S. They found that just over 2,300 people had called a center worried that their or somebody else's recent kratom use caused illness. Okay. They don't tell you what period of time this is over. This could be over 10 years. And this has happened before where they have put out reports like this. And then when you actually look and see, like, over what period of time, it could be 10 years, 20 years. You know, you don't know. They don't tell you. And when they don't tell you the period of time, that makes me suspicious, because that makes me think it's probably not as often as they're trying to make it sound. So 2,300 people over the course of an undisclosed amount of time had called a center worried that their or somebody else's recent kratom use caused illness. So this isn't confirmed illness. This is somebody that called with maybe a question. Hey, if I take kratom, well, could that poison me? See how inexact the language is and what they're trying to do here. Now it says, out of all these exposures, now look, see what they did there? First they say these were calls with somebody who had a worry. Or a question, you know, somebody who had a worry that it might have caused illnesses. But then it says, out of all these exposures. So now they're trying to conflate the two things and saying that all of these were confirmed exposures to kratom. That's not what it was. But it says the most common symptoms reported were agitation, 18.6%, a rapid heartbeat, 16.9%, and drowsiness, 13.6%. Okay, those are probably uncomfortable, but relatively, it's probably not going to kill you. The rapid heartbeat thing, it does kind of work like coffee. So it's like if you drink, you can have a cup of coffee and be fine. If you drink 2 pots of coffee, you're going to have rapid heartbeat, but they're not going to outlaw coffee. But there were more serious symptoms like seizure. 6.1% of 2,300 people who called in, 6.1% of 2,300 people reported seizure symptoms. Hallucinations and coma were reported. Now, again, these aren't confirmed. These are just reported. People just calling into the poison centers. You could call them right now and make it all up, and it would be in this study. So I'm not saying that people made it up. I'm just saying it's not confirmed that these things actually happened. And so what do you do with that? Are we going to create a whole law based on unconfirmed reports? Coma from 2.8% of 2,300 people. Okay. Now, you also have to ask what else was going on when the person took kratom. Did they take it you know, were they already on medication? Were they already on, did they already have a heart condition that may have agitated this? It says they also studied death certificates. Here we go. From the county medical examiner's office in New York State, and found four deaths where kratom was listed by the coroner as the cause or contributing factor in the death. Again, over what period of time? Four deaths. Not all of those, not even all of those four was the cause. It says as a cause or contributing factor. Well, how many were contributing and how many was the cause? Because that there's a big difference there. Now it says the authors who published their work in the journal Pharmacotherapy wrote, quote, kratom use is increasing and is associated with significant toxicities. Of course it's increasing. But again, look how it's worded. When you read that, it makes it sound like the significant toxicities is increasing. That's not what they said. Kratom use is increasing. Yes. And is associated with significant toxicity. So when you read that, it makes you think that like people are just are using this and making themselves sick and dying all over the place. It says the study's findings mirror that of research published this February, which also looked at poison control calls concerning kratom use. Like the current study, that study found calls for kratom had become much more common in recent years. Again, they're not telling you how much. They just say much more common. That could mean we used to get one call every 5 years, but now we get four calls. You know, we don't know how. They're not specific for a reason because they're trying to push a narrative here. Look, if kratom is dangerous, I want to know about it because I take it every day. I don't have an agenda here. Like I would if it was actually dangerous. And that was confirmed, I would quit taking it today. But this deceptive reporting drives me crazy because this is the kind of stuff that pushes laws and bans and stuff like that, where people are going to be forced into opioid use because they don't have kratom anymore and they have chronic pain and they got to do something. And that is going to result in so many more deaths than whatever kratom might be contributing to. And I don't think it really is. I wouldn't go as far as to say nobody has ever died from kratom ever. I haven't seen a legitimate report of that, but I wouldn't say that that's never happened. Just like people die from Tylenol use, people can die if they drink too much coffee. You can die from any number of things. That doesn't mean that we should go and ban all of them. It says the study's findings. Okay, so we talked about that. Let me find where we were here. The study also follows a report published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention this April that linked kratom use to 91 deaths between July of 2016 and December of 2017. So that's a year and a half. So over the course of like 18 months, we have 91 deaths linked to kratom use, not caused by, linked. Pay attention to the messaging here. When they say kratom linked to death, what they mean is the coroner found kratom in the system of somebody who died. It doesn't matter what killed him. It doesn't matter if they died in a car crash. It doesn't matter if they blew their brains out. It doesn't matter if it was a heroin overdose. If they find kratom in that person's system, they label it as a kratom linked death. Does not matter the cause. That is, if not all 91 of these, that is the vast majority. If you look into each one, and I've done videos on that, but YouTube has deleted them. But there is another video that we talked about that here on DailyRenegade.com. So linked kratom use, and that's over. Now that's over the course of 18 months. Let's say that's all legitimate. Let's say 91 people died over the course of 18 months. That's average 60 a year, you know, 30 every 6 months. So 60 a year, 500 people a year, every year, die from Tylenol, from acetaminophen poisoning, because they take too much Tylenol. 500 a year. Where is the call to ban Tylenol? There's no call for that because they're making money off of it. They're not making money on kratom, and that's the problem, and that's why they want to ban it, so people will go and buy Tylenol or go get Vicodin or something like that. That's why they don't want kratom on the market, because it is saving lives and it is really helping people. It continues. The Food and Drug Administration has aggressively campaigned against people using kratom, citing the CDC data as well as its own research, suggesting that kratom functionality behaves as an opioid in the brain. Yes, it does. It behaves as an opioid. It's not an opioid, but it deals with the same receptors It works in a similar way, but it's not an opioid. It's not this chemical thing that's gonna kill you in a few years because you have to keep taking. And that's the thing with kratom, opioid use. You have to keep increasing how much you take for it to still have the same effect. Plus, it doesn't really get rid of your pain. It just kind of dulls it, and then you get stoned from it a little bit. And look, I get that people need it, but I'm just going off of what I lived through. I was on it for years, and every so often, I had to keep increasing my dose. Vicodin became morphine. Morphine became oxycodone. I had to keep going stronger and taking more and more of it. That's how people die. That doesn't happen with kratom. I started taking kratom 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, and I haven't had to increase my dose. I take basically one teaspoon in the morning, one in the afternoon, or one half of a teaspoon in the morning, one half of a teaspoon in the afternoon. And if I need an extra one throughout the day, like if it's storming outside and my bones are hurting a little bit more, then I might take another half. But that's rare. I do that, and I take half a plunger of CBD, and that's all I have to do. I haven't had to ever significantly increase my dose, unless there's extraordinary circumstances, like if I'm doing extra work out in the yard or something, and my bones are hurting more than normal. But I haven't had to increase my dosage in a way that's been like long lasting. Opioids, you do have to do that. So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get rid of kratom, so it'll push us all into opioid land because they're making a lot of money off of that. It's expensive. That's the other thing they don't like about kratom is it's super cheap. It's really, really cheap, and it's better than opioids, in my opinion, because you don't get the hazy brain fog stoned, you know, effect. You don't get that. You think clearly. Here's another thing that they bring up. Kratom supplements, they've also warned, can be contaminated with heavy metals and have been linked to outbreaks of the foodborne germ salmonella. A couple of people got salmonella, but that's why you have to get your kratom from a trusted source. There are sources that have heavy metals in it, but that's why you have to get it through a trusted source, like Coastline Kratom. You need to find a source that tests their product, and most kratom vendors do that. If your kratom vendor doesn't do that, it's very easy to find one that does. Most of them do it because it's good business. So just find one that tests for that stuff and you're fine. The only people that got sick or got this stuff is when you buy like cheap garbage stuff that is laced with God knows what. You know, there is that kind of stuff out there. But that doesn't mean you ban the whole thing. It just means that you just be responsible with what you put in your body. You know, do your research. It says there was some evidence of kratom's opioid-like traits in the current study as well, since around 6% of the calls complained about withdrawal symptoms. Again, how much were they taking over what period of time, and why did they stop? Similar to what happens when people depend on opioids, abruptly stop taking them. So they're comparing it with opioids, saying, oh, it's so terrible. It's like opioids. Okay, well then, why aren't you banning opioids then? Why are you banning kratom and not opioids? You're pushing more people to opioids by taking kratom away. And 6%, that's it? That's nothing compared to the amount of opioid users who complain of that stuff. 100% of people who are on opioids and then have to abruptly stop taking it get withdrawals. The only time you don't is if you only have to take it for a couple of days, if you have a minor surgery. But if it's something that you're dependent on for a long time and you stop taking it, you're going to get way more sick from opioid withdrawal than you ever would from kratom withdrawal, if kratom withdrawal even exists. If you take it responsibly and you're only taking what you need to get through the day, if there is any withdrawal, it's not going to be anything compared to what opioid withdrawal is like. Advocates of kratom use have criticized these reports, yes, as I'm doing now, arguing that many kratom-linked deaths are actually due to the multiple drugs found in the person's system or their pre-existing substance use disorder rather than kratom itself. Exactly. And that's exactly what it is. But, you know, so this article says, and by the way, before they even get to that point, it's halfway down the article. Most people have already read the headline and moved on. It says, and there's some room for caveats with this study, too. Poison control calls, for instance, are an imperfect proxy for figuring out any particular drug's side effect, since they depend on a person's subjective experiences reported to someone over the phone. Exactly. Parts of the government have lobbied for kratom to be classified as a Schedule I controlled substance, which would block the plant from being legally used by anyone. The FDA has also gone after retailers and distributors that blatantly sell kratom supplements as a treatment for medical conditions, including cancer. I don't know of anybody, except for the pain relief, I don't know of anybody who has said kratom will cure cancer. It won't. It'll help dull some of the pain associated with it, but I've never heard anybody claim that. If they do claim it, then they're obviously morons and they shouldn't be listened to. Kratom's not going to cure your cancer. The only thing that it's going to do is help dull some of the pain. And so, good. That's, you know, why would we not want some pain relief for people? But so far, the agency responsible for such a move, the DEA, has not made a final decision. Some researchers, while calling for people to avoid kratom products advertised with clear medical benefits, aren't so sure that kratom can't be an effective treatment for opioid use disorder for some people. And the relatively small kratom industry has tried to police itself somewhat, but the authors of the study say that people should stay away from kratom altogether, at least until we know more about its potential health risk and how to prevent them. We're not, why should we wait on the government to do a study? They're not going to do it, and they're going to be extremely biased. So why should we wait for the government to do a study like that when, yes, we can just police ourselves? We can do that ourselves. But they don't want that. They want us dependent on the government, and they want us on opioids. So lead author William Eggleston, a clinical assistant professor of pharmacy practice at Binghamton University in New York, in a statement from the university, said, quote, kratom may have a role in treating pain and opioid use disorder, but more research is needed on its safety and efficacy. Our results suggest it should not be available as an herbal supplement, end quote. Okay, but why? Again, why shouldn't it be? Why should? Because you don't know? Well, do the studies then. You know the health risks of Tylenol, of alcohol, of stuff that's readily available for anybody. Do the studies and find out. Don't ban it from everybody who might be who are benefiting from it now. Lives will be ruined and there will be deaths if they ban kratom, because a lot of people, people like me, we're going to have to make a choice. Are we going to live every day in pain? Are we going to take an illegal substance now? I would stock up and I would just keep taking it. But after a while, it's going to run out and you're not going to be able to buy it anymore. So are we going to do that? Or are we going to have to go back to opioids again and end up dying from complications? It's an impossible choice to make. It's an impossible situation. But that's what's going to happen. People are going to die if they ban kratom. That's why this is so important. That's why it really burns me up that I can't talk about this publicly on YouTube, because whenever I do, they remove the video. At least Blog Talk has been cool. They haven't censored us, and at least we have, you know, the Daily Renegade platform here where you're not going to be censored. But it's coming, so you know, prepare now. That's why I keep telling people, go to Coastline Kratom, buy them out. Just you know, there's an ad that you can find on the Daily Renegade website, dailyrenegade.com, or you can on every YouTube video that we put out, you can find a link to it. Buy them out. Just stock up. Now is the time to do it, because Kratom is going to keep getting more bad publicity. Voices like mine, who is trying to tell the truth about this stuff, and are being silenced. You know, we're being silenced. So nobody is getting the truth, and most people don't take kratom, so most people don't care enough to look into it, and they think, well, it doesn't really affect me, I don't care, ban kratom, what does it matter? So most people aren't really putting up a fuss about it, but at least we have like the American Kratom Association and things like that advocating for people like you and I who rely on kratom every day. I don't like relying on any kind of substance, but unfortunately, that's just the hand I was dealt. It's that, or I'm in chronic pain to the point where I'm bedridden every day. You can ask my wife. I was bedridden. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't play with my kids. I couldn't do anything. When I was just suffering from this chronic pain. But since kratom, again, like I said, I got my life back. So anyway, that's what I wanted to talk about today. I would like to know what you think. Please leave me a comment. And thank you so much for being members. Thank you for being part of the family. Until next time, take care and God bless.